Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blowed his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
All right. Today we have Christina and Nick on the show. How are you two?
We're great.
Pretty good. Thank you, Tony.
I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm so glad you're here. I really am. Like I told you, I was so excited connecting with you guys. We'll share with the audience here at some point in this conversation. But I was so excited that I was expressing to you how excited I was. And I was like, man, this is weird. I got to calm down because I don't want them to get weirded out. Like, but is it not though? Like what I told you, kind of crazy?
Yeah, it's nuts. I didn't expect
it. I wasn't expecting that to be what you said at all.
No.
I'm a little bit blown away.
Mm-hmm. And surprised. It's wild.
That was a unique story to us, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get into it. Today, what I want to do is introduce you to the audience and let you guys share your story. Just so the audience knows, you guys are, in Canada now and, yeah. I'm already planning on bringing you guys down to the studio at some point, either late next year, early 2027, whatever works out best for the schedule for you guys. But this is going to be a good one. And I'm really excited to just hear your testimony and how God kind of shifted your life from, this new age, where you guys literally were traveling across the world because of the prodding of spirit guides to now being Christians and the process of that. It's dramatic in my mind. And I want to hear about it because your lives have seemingly circled around the supernatural and it continues to. So I don't care who starts, how you guys want to do it from here, but I want to hear where all this began for you guys. Like, how'd you get into the new age?
Sure. I guess I can kind of start. So for me, well, we both grew up in the church. I grew up in the Anglican church. I hate always going back to childhood, but it's got to start somewhere. So I was adopted. I'm Indigenous. I was the oldest of four kids that my parents adopted. And growing up, my whole life, always, I've just always been aware of the supernatural. Now, as a child, I didn't really have a language for that. I didn't understand the things that I perceived or saw. And, you know, there was a number of supernatural experiences that happened throughout my childhood and youth. So I'm not going to get too much into that today, but what really happened, I think, is that, you know, I would describe some of these experiences that I had. Like I would just know things I shouldn't know, see things that other people couldn't see. And nobody really could explain that to me. And I went to church. I went to a private Christian school. There was, you know, I think my parents just thought there was something terribly wrong with me. So they were taking me to doctors, hospitals, all this stuff. I'm going through all these diagnoses and tests and everything's coming out like, no, there's nothing wrong with her that we can find. There's no mental disorders, et cetera. But yet I'm still experiencing phenomena like seeing things in my bedroom, people hearing things. You know, I had an experience with an angel at seven. But that being said, you know, I feel that the place that I was in my home, in my school, in my church, wasn't really able to explain these things to me or really accept them, I guess. So when I got to be about the age of 11, 12, around there, hitting preteen years, I really started to search for answers for myself. I didn't have a strong, I had no identity. I had no idea who I was. I'm adopted. I didn't really have that identity in Christ formed. And I had some trauma that happened early on as well. You know, I had some sexual trauma that happened in my life, and as well as a few other things that just kind of scarred me. So I was looking for answers. I was looking to find out who I was. And I went through, you know, a really tough time in my teens and young adulthood, which I've shared publicly elsewhere. So I'm not going to get too much into it today, but I got into drugs and alcohol, et cetera. In my 20s, I had a near-death experience, which was actually, there were a succession of three near-death experiences. And the final one, which put me out for a significantly long amount of time, I was actually given a choice, stay or go. You know, like I was in this horrible place. I definitely didn't go to heaven. I went to like this darkness, this void. And I just had this awareness that if I stayed there, if I chose to stay, that I would just be stuck in this endless emptiness and darkness, and that I needed to come back. And so I came back, and that's when I really turned my life around. So I went to treatment, got sober. And when I was in treatment was the first time I really met somebody who kind of understood the things that I was experiencing. Because as you can imagine, you know, when you're in a treatment center full of people who are, have a lot of trauma, a lot of addiction, like there is, the supernatural is wild. Okay. So I'm just seeing stuff, like I'm getting sober, but I am seeing stuff flying out of me, out of other people. Stuff's just, you know, I'm seeing things climbing walls, and things are talking to me. And I was just losing my mind. And I'm like, okay, well, I must be crazy. And I had this counselor, and she was like, well, actually, no, like, I think you have like ability. And so she started to explain this to me. And the way that she explained it, everything just, it's like it all clicked. I'm like, oh, that's what's wrong with me. I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just a psychic, and no one's ever told me that I'm a psychic. So this is probably my answer. I just need to understand this. So time goes on. I decide to go back to college, and I'm in school for counseling. I, being First Nations, I wanted to learn a bit more about my culture and my history and my background. So I enrolled in a First Nations college in their family and community counseling program. And while I'm there, you know, I started to go to sweat lodges, and I started to learn a bit about all this stuff that I hadn't known. And to be honest with you, Tony, like the first time I went into a sweat lodge, I actually felt more at home than I ever did in a church. You know, I'm on the ground, it's dark, I'm praying, I'm feeling the presence of something, you know, and the people are kind, they're peaceful, we're singing songs, and everything just, it felt like I finally found a home. And over time, I would start to share some of the things that I would see and perceive in the lodge. I would receive information about other people. I would see animals and people. And so what they recognize that, when I say they, I mean the people that I went to sweat lodge ceremony with and some of these other ceremonies, like things that I started to experiment with and experience, they were like, oh, well, you're gifted. If you were raised with us, you would have been raised as medicine. So, you know, I was like, oh, okay, so this must be what I'm supposed to do. And in my culture, you know, we believe in the creator, right? But then you also would speak to your ancestors, and you have spirit guides and helpers. And so, you know, I just sort of started going down that trajectory, as it was the first time that it was really like, I'm actually able to use this supernatural stuff I've been experiencing my whole life. And it seems to be helping people, right? And so I was like, this is great. So then I got into Reiki. And, you know, somewhere along that journey while I was, I believe, still in college, I one day I was walking down the road and I saw this sign, and it was a sign about the International Spiritualist. And so it's building, it's like, oh, service 10 a.m. So I, one day I just go up the stairs, and what it is, it's a church of mediums. So again, I feel like I'm coming home. I'm like, it's very similar to what you would see as a Christian church service. You know, you come in, there's songs, there's an address, which is like a sermon. And then after that, the difference where it gets different is the minister or the medium, the minister is a medium, and the minister at the end will do a demonstration of mediumship. So she will go to people in the audience. And basically, like, it's like, it's like prophecy. It's like a twisted gift of prophecy, right? So she will say, you know, I mean, I guess, I'll leave it to him to actually explain an experience, because I brought him into this church because around this time we got married. And
maybe I'll jump in here because this is around the time we met. I'll just do like a brief rundown. I always had issues growing up a little bit. I'd struggled. I had a lot of drug and alcohol substance issues. I was in a lot of trouble, legal trouble, from like a pretty young age, maybe about like 15 or so. And I tried a succession of like all these different things, like this treatment center, this place, that thing. Nothing ever seemed to work. I could never get anything above like 30 days sober. So like fast forward to about like 30 years old, maybe 31. And I basically ended up, I was like in a horrible place in my life. The last like week I was like living in this place called the Downtown East Side, which is like, it's like the biggest ghetto in Canada. It's like a very, it's really like open air drug market, stuff like this. And like, I wasn't, you know, I just kind of ended my bender there. I couldn't go back to my house. I screwed a bunch of people over and everything. And I knew something needed to change. And at that point, my drug habit was $500 a day, and I couldn't afford it anymore. Like,
wow.
There was no way to make that much money. So I actually, in my head, I was like, I need to go somewhere and straighten out so I can go back to being like a weekend drug user, because I can't afford this habit. You know, a couple $100 on the weekend back when, like when I was a kid, everything will be good. So I've been living this way for so long. I went to like a detox, and I looked for the place that had like the longest program possible. And the longest one I found was 90 days. I feel like it was like a God shot that I got in, because I like somehow they funded me to get in there. Like, I wasn't on welfare, any of this kind of stuff. And I ended up going in there. I stayed for 90 days, and I ended up actually like staying up until about a year in this like second stage. I ended up volunteering there, ended up working there. And this was my first like re-exposure to God, because they do AA there, which now is like the teachings of Jesus Christ, but like twisted. They take Jesus out of it. You can like pick your own higher power kind of thing.
Yeah.
But so I finally like started to pray. I was raised Catholic, but it was a very like religious experience. I found like, say this many Our Fathers, this many Hail Marys. Like it was pretty formulaic. Like I didn't really have any relationship, but I wouldn't pray. Like I'd be like, God, don't let me die this time. Or like, don't let, you know, if I'm hiding in this bush and the cops don't come, I swear I'll change my life around. Like, you know, I knew God was there, and I knew that I like wasn't doing what he said. And I was a little bit scared of him, because like, you know, from what I'd heard, I was like maybe going to hell from all the stuff that I was doing. But so anyways, I started to go through this process where I ended up getting sober and, in treatment, but if like through the 12 steps of AA, which are like, they actually, I think like one of the co-founders, his last speech was like basically credited it to the Bible. He's like, yes, we took these teachings from the book of James, from here and from there. And so that's why they work, because they're the teachings of Jesus, but it's all roads lead to the same place. And so I started also going to sweat lodge. I'd already been to a sweat lodge by the time we met. We started going to a sweat lodge together, and we were really like, we were seeking God. We thought we were doing the right thing. I was working at this treatment center. It paid terrible, but I was very excited about helping people. I was like, this is awesome. I want to help these people get off of drugs. Like I want to like be of service, but I was having a really hard time myself and struggling with a lot. And anyways, we ended up going, she took me to this spiritualist church. So the first time I go to this spiritualist church, I don't think I had a Facebook page or anything like this. Maybe I had like one friend or something on it that I didn't even talk to. So there was no like public information available about me online. I go into the spiritualist church and, you know, they do some readings from a book. They do the address, sing some songs. And then at the end, they're doing this display of mediumship. And the guy that's the minister there, he says, "You, the man at the back in the checkered shirt." He's like, "I have your grandfather here. His name is John." And I'm like, whoa, weird. His name, you know, my deceased grandfather's name was John. He says, "You're thinking about starting a construction company," which I just talked about with her in our apartment 2 days ago before that. And nobody was in the apartment. He says, "You work for somebody with the letter M. I work for a guy named Matt and Mike." He says, "You're in either mechanics or construction." I used to be a mechanic. I was in construction. He starts saying, like, basically reading my mail completely. And so I can start to feel stuff going on, supernatural stuff. The hair on the back of my neck is literally standing up. I'm crying because I'm like, wow, it's all real. There is life after death. I'm thinking, like, I'm like, this is the answer. Like, I never had such a experience like that at the church I grew up in. I was like, this must be it. So we start going there, and week after week, I'm like, they're telling me stuff that happened when I'm a kid. And she starts training in this church, and this is like, she's maybe
over it. So I dove right in, right? So I'm going to sweat lodge ceremonies, you know, like all the time. I become a Reiki master. I start taking classes at the spiritualist church, like every week, all the time. I'm meditating, I'm practicing every day. Like, I'm just basically like searching for answers and healing, and I'm just grabbing everything that I can find that I think is going to be helpful to me or someone else, right? I get into SRT, which is spiritual response therapy, which is therapy that was developed by a guy who used to minister and then kind of went sideways and started working with like pendulums and divination, essentially, right? And my former education as a counselor and a social worker, but then I got into so I'm going to school for these things formally, but then also on the side, I'm becoming a Reiki master. I'm really putting in my time at the lodge. I'm becoming a medium to the point where I'm actually starting to begin to teach class, teach other people mediumship and meditation. I become a registered clinical hypnotherapist. And so then I'm practicing that. And I'm going to say that was kind of like my, when I found that one, it was kind of like my foundation from which all the rest of the things kind of came off. You can go really deep with hypnotherapy into people's psyches. But what they don't tell you is, what I didn't know as well, is when you start to operate in the spirit realm and you start to operate in the spirit realm without the authority of Christ, you just open doors, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going down, like, I'm learning this stuff. I'm working with people. I'm helping them get healed of everything from like nail biting to like childhood trauma and all. So I think, right? And there's this one thing that I kind of want to touch on with hypnotherapy, which I could never figure out. And that is, like, I would do these sessions with people, like parts therapy, and I would do like, you know, all these things, like, and get, they'd be rid of a problem, right? So let's say it's smoking, or let's say it's nail biting, or let's say it's some kind of I even had a lady, it was a popcorn eating. She didn't want to eat popcorn anymore, right? And so once these things are gone, people go on, they don't, it's like, how do I want to say? It's like doing deliverance, but without Jesus, right? Because you're calling out these parts, and you're sending them to a light. You're saying you can't be here. You're doing some healing around it sometimes. And every once in a while, like, somebody would come back, and I couldn't figure out why people would have to come back. I didn't realize.
What do you mean by that? They had to come back.
The problem would come back. Like, they would be good for like,
oh, gotcha.
I'm like, they'd be good for like maybe 6 months. And then they'd be like, oh, I think I need a tune-up. Right. And so they come back, and then we go in and we do it again, then they'd be good again. And I could never, it wasn't until I became a Christian that I could put my finger upon why that is, because in the Word of God, it says, when you command a spirit out, like, we are sons and daughters of Christ. We have authority. Mm-hmm. He has given us that authority as sons and daughters. So we can command demons, we can command spirits, we can command these things. But if you're doing it without the authority of Christ, and the person that you are commanding that spirit out of is not surrendered to the Lord, well, it's just going to go get seven more of its friends and come right back in.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.